Lord, thank you for your word this evening. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Give us a pure heart. And make room that your Spirit can fill us. Teach us how to swim in this stream. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the New Jerusalem. Is the city far away, or is it drawing ever closer? Or better to say, are we getting closer to it? Yes, we are swimming toward that city. Sometimes you have this concept in your mind. You know the timeline, and you think we're at this one point, and then there's 1,000 years, and then there's a New Jerusalem. But praise the Lord wants to bring us ever nearer to this city. And during this conference, he's really bringing us closer. And it's so impressive to see how much the city has to do with our life. It really is so relevant to our lives. And I thought it was so precious this morning. Through the meal offering, the Lord is shaping us to be solid building material through the burnt offering and through the meal offering. Without these offerings, it will be very difficult. If you look at the disciples, the Lord called them, and he had great plans for them, but he really shaped them. And the meal offering is something where it's good to pray, Lord, give me a double portion. But if we pray this way, we also have to count on really having something be done with us, that the Lord will deal with us. If you look at Peter, Peter was very bold. Peter said, I will be with you, I will go with you, I will follow you even into death. And then the Lord broke him. But this is really scriptural. It's so good that the flour is mixed with oil. In Leviticus 2, verse 5, the grain offering or the meal offering is baked in a pan. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. Sometimes we think, well, I've experienced the Lord. I want to follow him. I've experienced the Spirit. And there is a little bit of mixing with oil. But there is oil in my offering. It's not missing. But then you see verse 6, you shall break it in pieces. How can you break it? It has to be baked first. And once it is baked and it's a piece of bread, then you can break it, just like on the Lord's Day. And what comes after you break the bread? Then, this is very precious, it says, you should pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. And then you get the double portion. This is really a mystery. But this is really how it is. When we look at Peter, he really got a double portion. May the Lord really make us those who are so prepared to be dealt with by the Lord. The fine humanity is not just about being a nice person. I don't want to diminish that aspect. This is very precious and it's important. But there's more to it. In Psalm 109, the Lord says, this is a very precious experience of the meal offering that is relevant to this holy city. Psalm 109, verse 4, in return for my love, in return for my love, when we love one another, when we love our neighbor, then we can gain much fine flour and we can gain much of the Spirit. Especially those that are maybe harder to love or that are not our favorite people. There are some where it's easy or automatic for this river to flow, And there are others where I have to overcome myself. And in those situations, I can gain much fine flour and mix it with oil. In Psalm 109, verse 4, the Lord loved them, but did he get gratitude or praise? No, it says they are my accusers. And does it then say, and therefore I hate them, or therefore I beat them? No, it says, but I give myself to prayer. Praise the Lord. That is really a meal offering or a grain offering that has been baked. And that is how the Lord shaped his disciples, that they were able to become foundation stones for the New Jerusalem. If someone accuses me, then something rises up in me and wants to break out of me. That's our old self, our old nature. But the Lord wants to form us into stones that are so solid. No matter if there are storms, if there are winds, that these stones are solid. They are faithful. Praise the Lord for such an experience of the meal offering. There is so much to gain. And this evening we want to continue to the peace offering, because the Lord wants to build the city that is measures 12 by 12. And 12 is 3 times 4. 3 times 4 is 12. 3 stands for God, and 4 stands for his creation. And these two have become fully one in the New Jerusalem. You can no longer separate them. That's the point to which the Lord wants to bring us. We can read Revelation 21, verses 1 to 3. Revelation 21, 1 to 3. Let's read this together.
Offenbarung 21, Vers 1 bis 3.
Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The old things have passed away. There's nothing that you can carry over from the old creation or from the old world into the New Jerusalem. You can't stick something in your pocket and just take it with you. The old things have all passed away. It is no more. And then something new comes. It is a holy city that comes down out of heaven from God. And we have spoken about the bride that is adorned for her husband in verse 2. But then you see verse 3, what God says. What does he say? He says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Praise the Lord. And he will dwell with them. The Almighty God will dwell with men. That is powerful. In which religion do you see this, that God wants to dwell with people, with men, that he would have his tabernacle with men? That is huge. You've got to chew this sentence. Consider it. The tabernacle of God with men. He himself will dwell with them. And we all know this. If you just see one another briefly at the conference and you talk a bit, it's nice. But what if you get to know each other better and even have to live together? Then many things come forth. So imagine if God wants to dwell with men, what kind of people do these have to be? How can this work, that God would dwell with men? And God wanted this from the very beginning. He created Adam and Eve. He didn't put them in a factory or some other place, but he put them in a garden so that he could have fellowship with men, to dwell with them. And did that work? Not for long. Unfortunately, it only lasted a brief time, because then the serpent came and spoiled this fellowship. It disturbed this fellowship. There was a separation. And with the people of Israel, when God called them, why did he work so hard to call this people, to prepare this people for himself, to call them out of Egypt? He went through such an effort. Leviticus 26 says, in verse 11, I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. Verse 12, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. What a promise. This was God's plan for his people, and that's why he gave them all these ordinances, the priestly service, all these promises, because he wanted to have his tabernacle among them and dwell among them. But what happened? It also didn't take long that the people of Israel made a golden calf. And what was God's reaction? He said, I have to leave. I can no longer dwell among you. I have to leave the camp and go outside the camp. And that's really powerful. And again we see that the Israelites, they made him, God, so angry that he had to leave them and not dwell among them. And how much is God longing for the day in which he can say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men? And when Jesus came, what do we see in John 1, 14? John 1, 14.
Johannes, Kapitel 1, Vers 14.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And also verse 18, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has declared him. Verse 14 tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise the Lord. There was such a man with whom God lived and dwelled. He was fully one with God, where you could really see that the tabernacle of God and the glory of God dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us. A man who was full of God's glory and who revealed God's glory. Such a man is so precious to God. The Lord often said, the Father and I are one. He is in me and I am in him. God needs such people. And he wants to make us such people who are fully one with God. And therefore, we need not only the burnt offering and the meal offering, but we also need the peace offering. The peace offering is our way to make it to this point. This is what God wanted with man from the very beginning, a complete oneness with man. And the peace offering is not just, oh, I had a problem and I was a little restless or there was no peace in me and then I prayed and then I had a good, peaceful feeling in me. Yes, we should pray for all things, and it's good to have an experience like this, but I want to emphasize that the peace offering is deeper than this. It means that our whole being is fully reconciled with God. In Thessalonians, it says, 1 Thessalonians, may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And he is preserving your whole spirit, soul, and body thoroughly. That's the peace offering, that we are fully brought into this fellowship with God. Romans 16 says also that we can become one with the God of peace. It says the God of peace will tread Satan under your feet. Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. How does that happen? It doesn't happen because we're so powerful, but because we're one with the God of peace. And for the God of peace, it is easy to crush Satan, even to crush him under our feet shortly. Praise the Lord. The word describes the components of the peace offering to bring us fully into the experience of that offering. And this is really a help for us. We all long for this fellowship with God. I'm pretty sure we all do. But how can we enter into this? For that, we need to read in detail about this offering and ask the Lord, lead me into the reality of this. In Leviticus chapter 3, it talks about the peace offering, and it has the portion of the peace offering that is for the priests. For the burnt offering, the whole animal is burnt up, and you just have the skin left over. In the meal offering, there was a handful that was burnt, but the rest was for the priests. But for the peace offering, the fat is offered, and not the outer layer of fat, but the inner fat or the visceral fat that is around the organs and the two kidneys. And what does this have to do with us and with peace? It's easy to look at the outward things. And outwardly, we're mostly nice and peaceful people. But what about our inward parts, the entrails? In the New Jerusalem, the gold in the New Jerusalem is clear as crystal. You can see all the way through to the inside. You can't hide anything. And for that, we need the peace offering to say, Lord, I don't want just my outward parts to be peaceful and to be in your rest, but in your peace, but my whole inward parts, through and through. The Lord was well-pleasing to the Father through and through. Praise the Lord for these inward parts, for the hidden parts, that these may also be well-pleasing to the Father. And the kidneys are a picture of our conscience. And that sounds simple, but it is a very precious exercise to live in peace with God and with others. And no matter how old we are, we have to obey our conscience. We often tell the young kids in the meeting, listen to your conscience. And that is very important, especially for children. as when they transition to become a little older and the parents are not always with them. In the very beginning, the parents are your conscience. They tell you what you can do and what you can't do. But at some point, you will be alone and in school or in the bus and on a field trip with your school, and your parents aren't there. And then you need to be able to rely on your conscience. And the Lord gave us this conscience so that it could be one with Him and that we could listen to Him. But this is important not just when we are children, but all the time for all of us. And Paul said that he practices, he exercises all times to have a spirit that is blameless before God and man. And if we ask the Lord for it, don't we believe that He will give us many peace offerings that we may learn to obey our conscience? And then there's the portion that the priests receive. And this is really a feast. It's like a three-course meal, if not more. There is bread, there's unleavened bread that the priests get. And then there is the breast as a wave offering, and the right shoulder, or the right thigh, sorry, as a heave offering. The person who brings the offering cannot eat it. He has to give it to the priest, and also the right thigh. It was reserved for the priest. This shows the rich supply, the complete supply that the Father has prepared for His priests. When we serve the Lord, it cannot become dry. Yeah, we should never experience scarcity when we serve the Lord, but much more, He is giving us His rich supply. So not only is there bread, but there's a full breast, there's a right thigh. It shows the full riches of the Lord that we can lay hold of and that He is strengthening us to remain in this fellowship with Him. And we see this also in the New Jerusalem. Revelation 22, verse 1. In chapter 21, he describes the whole city, and in chapter 22, he describes the river. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life. In this city there is no lack of anything. Why? Because God Himself is there. And a stream of pure river of water of life is coming out of His throne. And the tree of life is there. So everything is taken care of. Do you think there's anything you need to worry about in the New Jerusalem? No, because everything is supplied out of the throne. It's so important to see this and to experience it. The throne of God is the most important thing. It's in the middle of the city, but what kind of throne is it? It's not just a throne where you appear to receive some commands from the king and hope that you can fulfill them. No, this is not a throne from which commands are issued, but it is also supplying this river of life. Yes, there is an element of obeying Him and to be submissive to Him, but also there is the full supply for us, and we need this full supply. He is equipping us for this. Hebrews 12. How does the Lord deal with us and take care of us? Sometimes we think when our lives have difficulty, we say, wait, Lord, I wanted to serve You. I wanted to help build the city, so why am I having such a hard time? Why am I having difficulties? how can you attain this unleavened bread to the breast and to the right thigh? Hebrews 12 says that we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Hebrews 12, verse 9. There are some sufferings that we cannot pray away. So how can you attain, how can you reach the supply? It says we have to be submissive to the Father of spirits, in subjection to the Father of spirits, then we will live. And I am learning to be so one with the Father, to be subject to Him, because then I can receive this full supply, this feast of the peace offering. There is a lot to still lay hold of in these offerings. In the last few weeks, I had some difficulties, but I really saw that if I submit to the Father and I seek peace with Him, then there is such a supply that I cannot describe. It is stronger than any difficulty I could face. Thank the Lord. And then we will also receive a portion of His holiness. It is not just a supply of strength or a supply to not have a breakdown, but you also receive something. The Lord works something into you that you didn't have before. He makes you a partaker of His holiness, and that makes you a material that is qualified to be built into this holy city. This is really a mystery. And this thigh and this breast, if you take it from the Lord, they will give you something. They will supply you with something that you didn't have before. The city comes down out of heaven from God. Everything comes from God. And in the same way, our experience, what the Lord is working in us, what we receive from Him, we have to take from God. Let me give you an example. In Hebrews 12, he talks so much of chastening. And then verse 11, it says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness." And this is also an indication of the peace offering. And verse 12, this is the verse about the thighs. So now you are sad. How do you come out of the sadness? Verse 12 says, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." This is the portion of the peace offering that is the thigh, because you get strength from the Lord. You say, "Lord, I want to eat this thigh. Give me your strength, the power of your resurrection. Make straight paths for your feet and pursue peace with all people," verses 13 and 14. This is the thigh that strengthens us, that straightens our path, that we may pursue peace with all people and holiness. Without this thigh, you will eventually give up and you will say, "Ah, it's no good. Let me just go back on YouTube. Or I'll just go back to my old ways." When you have such thoughts, then remember, "Lord, now there is an opportunity for me to ask of you to give me this thigh, give me the word that I can chew that can strengthen me." And the Lord gives His priest this thigh. Praise the Lord. Then even in the most difficult times, you can have fellowship with the Lord. And the other portion for the priest is the breast as a wave offering. The wave offering indicates that it is something living, something moving. It is not just a piece of meat that's just hanging there, but it is moving, it's waving. full of life. Praise the Lord. And this is so precious. The breast indicates love. And I think we've all experienced this. When we are in death, something killed us spiritually, then we know we also don't have a burden for those around us. Or are you praying a lot for the gospel, for all the saints, full of love? That's not the case for me. If I'm spiritually dead, then I don't care. That's a sign of death. How do I get out of that? How do I escape that? The way is not just to talk about love or read about love, but I have to come out of death, and for that I need food that gives me life. And for that I should take the breast. And through that, the love and the burden for God's work and God's people grows in me. And this should not feel like an obligation, like, oh, I have to pray for the others. But it works this change in us, this living change when we eat the breast. Lord, I want to pray for the others. And the Lord works a love for us, love in us, that the work would be completed, that Zion would be completed. This is the portion of the priests. This is our portion. The Lord is calling us to complete the city, and that means we also have to progress with the offerings. In the past, I used to say, Lord, now I have some time, I have strength, I'll give it to you. And that is a precious experience. You can gain a lot of burnt offerings this way. But what about when you have no strength and no time? Do you still fulfill your priestly service then? The Lord wants to bring us more deeply into the experience of this portion of the priests. Lord, this is my portion. I need it now, and it is my right. Give me this thigh. Strengthen me. And then, as the Lord says, we serve out of the strength that He gives us. Psalm 87 is a wonderful description of Zion. We don't have to read the whole psalm, but you should take the time to read it at home. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. And then verse 7 of Psalm 87, verse 7. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. This is the description of the people in the city. They have learned to take and to drink of this spring. And as priests, we need this supply and we have a right to take of it. And there was one situation where the Lord showed very clearly that we need this supply. At the beginning of the conference, we heard about the fear of the Lord. Over time, it's easy sometimes to become loose and to do things just casually, but that is judged. In Leviticus 10, after the offerings were ordained and the priests started to bring the first offerings, then in chapter 10, verse 1, Nadab and Abihu brought profane fire before the Lord. And the Lord, God judged this severely. He consumed them in that very moment. In Hebrews, it also says we should hold fast the grace and serve as priests with fear and trembling. because our God is a consuming fire.
Amen. Aber warum beschreibt das Wort bleibt nicht dabei stehen?
Why does the word describe the situation with Nadab and Abihu so in such detail? Because there's a lesson here. God says to Aaron, you should not have any wine before you go in, or intoxicating drink before you go in. You have to be sober, you have to be clear, you have to have discernment. This was Leviticus 10:9. You should not handle the holy things loosely. And then there is a warning in Leviticus 10, verses 12 to 15. Leviticus
10, 12 to 15.
There was a remnant. And this remnant received a warning from God. Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons who were left. Take the grain offering that remains of the offerings made by fire to the Lord and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. Verse 13, you shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due of the sacrifices made by fire to the Lord. For so I have been commanded. Verse 14. The breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering you shall eat in a clean place, you, your sons, and your daughters with you. For they are your due and your son's due, which are given from the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. Verse 15, the thigh of the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering, they shall bring with the offerings a fat made by fire to offer as a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded.
Amen. Halleluja. Amen. Ein ewiges Anrecht, wie es der Herr geboten hat.
Yeah. It shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded. Isn't this an amazing warning? After such an occurrence, there was probably a lot to say. He might have said, you have to study the Torah more. You have to cleanse your garments. There was much that Moses could have said. But what does he remind them of after this incident? He says, take the grain offering, eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. And the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering you shall eat. He reminds them of the portion of the priestly food that God ordained for them. And this is a really strong warning. How can we remain faithful in our priestly service, not to become weary, not to become negligent? We really need this supply through the priestly food. In the holy city, we need the constant supply of this life. And how much more do we need it today? So take this food. You can't just take it home and say, oh, I'll eat it as a snack later. It says here you have to eat it next to the altar because it is a holy place. Eat it next to a holy place. In other words, if I was not careful throughout the day, and I allowed myself to be defiled. I touched something that was unclean. Or if my mind was occupied with something, or I watched or listened to something that killed my spirit, deadened my spirit, then I can't just walk right back into the tent and eat the priestly food. He first had to cleanse himself, wait until the evening, and then eat. What do you think the effect of this was? Surely that made the priest very careful in his daily life. What do I touch? What do I look at? How do I deal with my body in my daily life? This is such a practical picture of what it means to pursue holiness. It has a lot to do with our food, what we eat, what we take in. If I don't take care of what I take in, then I cannot be holy. But if I pay attention, then the Lord will supply us with a heavenly food that is much deeper and richer than what I can receive from what is outside as just the so-called manna. But it is the priestly food that strengthens us to continue on the highway of holiness, that strengthens us to serve the Lord. And then in Leviticus 11, the whole chapter is speaking of the clean and the unclean animals. And at the end of this chapter, God explains why the people have to abide by all these ordinances, because he says, "You shall not defile yourselves or make yourselves abominable," verse 43, "with any creeping thing that creeps. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." How much more on the positive side if we learn to take these portions and say, "Lord, this is my right. I need this portion, this priestly portion, so I can pursue holiness." Will the Lord supply us? Have you gotten a desire to experience the peace offering more? It's really such a treasure. It is a feast. Two verses from Hebrews 13 to conclude. Which show that the peace offering is so connected and intertwined with the holy city. Hebrews 13, 14 and 15. Chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name."
Hallelujah. Amen.
These two verses belong together. We have no continuing city. Even in verse 13, it already says, "Let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach." Why? Because the camp was defiled. Why do we go outside the camp? Because we have this holy city in view. And that's why it says in verse 14 that we have no continuing city here, but we seek the one to come. And this word, to seek, is a strong word. In the Greek, it is really a zealous seeking. We long for it. We desire it. And in considering, in meditating on these verses, I thought, you know, if I think of this as just a topic in the meeting, then there's not a desire in my heart. It's not a longing. But how can I reach this point, that I also desire this holy city. Then, if I have such a desire, then I get to the point in verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. This praise offering is not just to say, praise the Lord. That is not yet a sacrifice of praise. But it is this sacrifice of praise from Leviticus. It is a feast with unleavened bread, with a thigh as the heave offering, with the breast as the wave offering. It is such a peace offering that we learn to continually offer a peace offering to the Father. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us really exercise this. Chew these verses to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That means I also continually need the supply of the Lord, his humanity, his life, his love, his power, his endurance. We need all these things continually. And if we have them continually, then it's also possible to continually remain in this oneness and peace with God, to live in fellowship with him, and then the fruit of our lips will come forth. It's not just to say something with our lips, but to declare it with the power of the Lord and a reality. Let us pursue the Lord in this way, that we may gain many peace offerings.